Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble here. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget all the other things you can do, including finding out more about and listening to more and more about, words from our friend and our guest this half hour, Mr. Peter Meyer. Peter's all over our website is, I don't know how many archives we have of his, dozens of shows that we've done with Peter that we've collected, because we sure don't want to let those great perspectives that he offered to us get away. And you can enjoy those over and over again. You can just go down through them one after the other and learn the things that Peter has to say and that he's helped us with. I promise you, he's helped me in my business. He's the author of Creating and Dominating New Markets, which is one of my favorite books, and Warp Speed Growth, and he's our good friend. Peter, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you
and
for being here.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate the part that you played in our success story so far, and we've got you and I have a fourth anniversary coming up in January. It will be the fourth anniversary, I think it is, of you being on the show for the first time. And
wow!
But for all the time that you've given us, Peter, over the years, and all the great information you provided to us, we thank you.
It's been my pleasure every minute of it.
Peter, one of the things that you've really helped me to harden my thoughts on something that I think is very important, and I, when I think back on the conversations that I've had that's helped me to develop this thing that I'm about to talk about, I have to give you the most credit, because you and I have certainly had these conversations, and that's about this thing about the difference between focusing on our customers and focusing on our competitors. One of the things that happens when a business gets larger, and when I say larger, I don't mean that they're already big. I just mean want the next step larger, whatever that may be, hiring
right.
One more employee, getting, but whatever growth step you take, if you actually do take a growth step, either to hire the second employee or to, you know, buy, you know, or to go from $500 million in revenue to $1 billion in revenue, whatever that growth step is, one of the unfortunate consequences, I think, is that it has the tendency to separate the top people in the company just a little bit more from their customers. Would you agree with that?
It can do that.
The tendency. I said the tendency.
Yes.
And if left to its own devices, those steps will increase that distance between top decision makers and their customers.
Mm-hmm.
So we therein lies a serious problem, isn't it, for any business, large and small?
The problem is just the way you define it. If you take your eyes off the customer and put them anywhere else, you're putting your business at risk.
My audience knows, Peter, that I've been on this soapbox about this for a long time. I've written some articles about this. And folks, I call it the customer, what customer syndrome. And that is where the people at the top of the organization become so focused on their competitors and what the competitor is doing and how do I beat my competitor? How do I compete against my competitor? How do I take customers away from my competitor? How do I do things better than my competitor? They get so focused on that they forget that the customer is out there needing to be served and wanting to be served and having lots of choices about where they can be served.
And part of what happens is that the competitors and we as vendors tend to move, progress, and change in a fairly slow, steady way. Customer needs tend to move in different directions and move more quickly. We focus on the competitors, we're likely to miss what actually the need is. And that's worse than simply missing a customer need and missing a sale. It misses the opportunity created by a whole new market that might just be happening underneath our very eyes. We're not seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong place.
Well, one of the things that really troubles me, and I see it in the marketplace. I see it in marketing and advertising, and that's the manipulation of customers instead of the selling to or the serving of customers. The manipulation of customers with the single focus of manipulating customers to outdo our competitors. When we come back after these messages, I know you've got some stories about how companies that have done that. And folks, this is and don't think just because you're a small business that it can't happen to you. It can, and it does. We're going to talk about this right after these messages with our good friend Peter Meyer right after the break. Stay with us. We're back at 1710. I'm Jim Blassingame. The small business advocate, Peter Meyer, is our guest. Peter is the author of Creating and Dominating New Markets. Peter, tell us where your books are available, please.
Well, you can get them, of course, at our website, which is creatinganddominatingnewmarkets.com, but you can get them at most bookstores and most online booksellers as well.
All right. Check that out when you get a chance, folks. Creating and Dominating New Markets. And you got stuff there that we don't have to buy, too, right? You got some free information, too, don't you, Peter?
Quite a bit of it. A lot of the articles we've done in the past 6-8 years are on the website. It's something you can just come and get and take advantage of. Big parts of the book are there in the previous books. There's a lot of good information, and just use it.
Folks, if you want to check your position, if you're not sure when you hear Peter and me talking about some of these topics about making sure that you got your stuff squared away for the 21st century, and you're not sure if you are, you can go back and listen to some of the archives on our site for Peter. Just go to the Brain Trust section on the left of our homepage and click on that, and then go to the alphabetical listing of that's the quickest way to get there, and then go down alphabetically to Peter's name, Meyer, and you can find out more about listen to the articles the archives that he's conducted with me and the topics that we talk about are there. So you can find one that interests you. And each one of them are about 15 to 18 minutes long. Peter, we're talking about this thing that you and I are seeing where people or companies are focusing more on competitors than they are on customers. And what happens, Peter, the folks, if you want to see what it looks like, you might be thinking, well, what's an example of that? Well, I'll help you learn how to pick them out. When you see an industry where it's hard to tell one company from the other in terms of what they provide you, that's customer, what customer in action? Peter, what do you think?
I think that's a good way of looking at it. For instance, the little thumb drives, those little drives with all the memory on them that you can buy for your computers.
Oh, yeah, USB drives that you stick in the back of your computer, yeah.
Key drives, thumb drives, they have lots of mm-hmm. different names. And that's part of an example of what you're saying, is that there is no dominant vendor in that business. It started out as a great idea, but nobody was focusing on what works as well for the customer. They were focusing on how they could get to different sets of markets and compete with each other, and that they were better and they were best. And the result is you can buy these things for a couple of dollars, and nobody's making any money.
Right. Well, what happened was they, and it also seems to me, this is something I think another thing that happens, is we not only focus on our customers, we focus on our own stuff. And that's one of the very first lessons that you taught us way back, you know, Peter, when you first started joining us, is not to get so caught up on our own stuff, but how our stuff can help our customers.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. If you take a look at the company Symantec, which is now a $2.5 billion a year company, they had a really tough time converting from a tools company to a security company a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Partially because they were so focused on the value of the tools, they were missing the wider market.
I bought a bunch of their tools way back in the they offered hard drive, external hard drives.
They offered a lot of tools, and they offered the Norton product line, which was mm-hmm. very good for a while. But mm-hmm. very focused on a certain kind of user that was disappearing, and they didn't quite realize it. And they recovered from it, and John Thompson became their CEO in 99 and helped them make that transition. He's a friend of mine from a long time ago. And I was noting something he said just a couple of days ago, which is that, again, they took their eye off the ball, his phrase, and they missed out on this adware, spyware problem mm-hmm. we're all having with computers today
mm-hmm.
because perhaps they were too focused on the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. And well, they were looking inward. How can we, and they were probably in love with their own products, weren't they?
I might say that. John would not, but I might well say that, yeah.
Yeah.
And looking inward is a good place to go for part of the day. But most of the day, if you look inward, you're going to miss things. Most of the day you should be spending looking outward at not your competitors, as you're saying, but your customers. What's going on in the customer set? Spyware is a great example. Competitors were missing it, too. All these little companies were coming up and finding it because they were listening to the customers. An opportunity for us as small businesses to ace and compete with and totally eliminate large companies from markets is by listening to customers first.
Well, one of my favorite stories, and I've used this before, although not I don't think lately, is the tire people in the tire business. Mm-hmm. If you focus on your wonderful tires, you're going to get to keep a lot of your tires. But if you focus on the fact that people need tires, but they'd rather not come and spend a half a day with you, or even know when they'd rather not even go check to see if they need new tires. They'd like for somebody to take that off of them. If you'll ask your customers, what would that be worth to you? Then not only will you be able to sell your tires at a premium to those customers who want that, but you'll be able to sell a lot of tires that you might not have sold before, or otherwise, I should say.
Exactly right. Think about it as a user, as a consumer of tires or any similar product. You don't really care about the rubber tread compounds half the time you buy them. You care about, can my car go forward? And the vendors take care of that issue for me over time are the ones who get my return business.
Well, what if a dry cleaner called me and said, Jim, I don't know who's doing your dry cleaning, but how would it help you if I came to your office and picked your dry cleaning up and then brought it back to you so you didn't ever have to worry about remembering to go to the dry cleaners?
That would be a good customer service.
And so, those are just examples, folks, of thinking about the customer. The tire example, my favorite tire example, Peter, is for the tire store to know about when I'm going to be wearing, my tires are going to wear out. To be able to predict that. They can do that. And then contacting me saying, hey, I need to come check your tires. I'm going to keep doing business with a guy like that. Stand by, 10 till. We'll be right back with Peter Meyer. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Peter Meyer is our guest. And we're celebrating our 7th anniversary of being on the air, kicking off our 8th anniversary, and it's also kicking off our 6th anniversary of our newsletter, our electronic publication that goes out every week, and you can subscribe to that at our website, which is jbsba.com. Peter Meyer, one of the things that I see happening, and I believe happens I think it's kind of a natural law, is that the more our businesses grow, large and small, the less likely the people who are making have the vision and the strategy to develop the strategy for the company in the future, the farther away, the less likely, I should say, that they are to wait on a customer. And customers become more items on a spreadsheet. They become a little more vague, and not that small business owners don't see their customers, but we all, and people out there are realizing what I'm saying. They're saying, yeah, you're right. I recently handed over, a whole bunch of customers to a salesperson. I used to call on those people. Now that person calls on them. Well, the more you get in that situation, the more you're thinking strategically, the more you're thinking long range, and the more you do that, the more you're peering over there to your competitors. And you start focusing on what they're doing and how do I beat them, and you focus less on the customers. And Peter, where I'm going with this now is that attitude not only infects me as the strategist and as the leader, but it filters down and it becomes part of the culture of my company, and my employees get that same attitude.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's folks, that's the end of your company when that happens.
It can be a really interesting time trying to recover from that. It's much easier to avoid it.
Yeah. How do we do that?
Well, I think the key way for any executive to avoid this problem is to do what a friend of mine who runs a hospital chain in the South does, one of the few profitable hospital chains. What Terry does is she keeps a calendar and she looks forward into it, not for what she has to do, but for where she's investing her time. And she looks at it as an investment. How much of my time is being invested in this category, in that category, and should I change my investment strategy? If you were to do that on a daily basis for most of us and say, you know, I'm investing way too much time on internal issues and not enough time on external customer issues, then you have the opportunity to proactively make the change before it happens. Now, what most people do is look at their calendar over a period of a week and say, oh, golly, it seems a waste of time. Don't do it. Do that. But as well, look forward. Start in the morning and say, am I investing my time correctly today and tomorrow? And start to change it.
Well, I'd like to suggest that that you look at your time and you say, and everything that you just said I agree with, but I'd like to add to that and say, how much of today am I going to spend, do I think I'm going to spend focusing outward, outside of my business? And how much am I spending focusing inward? Now, obviously, you know, in the last hour, Peter, my audience heard me talk in the previous half hour, talking about focusing outward with your vision and making sure your horizons are not too close, all that. But in terms of the customers, how much of your time is being spent focusing on competitors, and how much is it being spent focusing on customers? And I think if you're honest with yourself, you can identify, you know, that how much you're spending with those two groups. And it needs to at least be on par, doesn't it? There needs to be at least a balance there, shouldn't there?
There needs to be a balance. And it's hard to argue sometimes, and we're in the middle of a fire, that you need to focus on stopping the next fire. But we all know better. We all know that if we stop the next fire, it's going to be better for our company. To take care of customer needs as they start to happen is a better deal than to wait and wait and wait until the crisis. So,
absolutely. Well, the thing that that I think if as business, as small business owners, the challenge that we have, Peter, is to make sure that we think strategically. That's it takes us a long time to get to the point where we can really spend some time on that. And congratulations when you get to the point, folks, that you can hand some of this off to an employee. But don't hand all of it off. Make sure you stay grounded in your customers. Peter, I'll give you last words, 20 seconds.
My last words for 20 seconds would be, first, congratulations on doing exactly what you're talking about, focusing on us as small businesses instead of yourself and your competition. That's a great model. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter, for that. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Creating and Dominating New Markets.com, right?
Exactly right.
That's the website. And that's also the book, folks. It's a great one, too. Thanks, Peter. See you later.
Talk to you soon.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and you all know this. This program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.